You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of ICAC 2007, the 47th Annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy. The conference took place in Chicago, Illinois, from September 17th through September 20th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Erica Nelson reporting for The Body Pro. I'm in Chicago at ICAC 2007, one of the year's major HIV conferences. Right now I'm in the poster session, where researchers are standing in front of their posters discussing their research and answering questions. We'll hear directly from investigators on the forefront of HIV treatment, care, and prevention. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. I'll then ask a few questions.
I'm Lisa Ross, and I'm a researcher. I'm in the virology department at GlaxoSmithKline, and this is a study called ALERT, and these are antiretroviral-naive patients who were treated with tenofovir QD plus either fosamprenivir with 100 milligrams of ritonavir QD or atazanavir with 100 milligrams of ritonavir QD. There were 53 patients who were randomized into each of the two study arms, and the results in this poster represent the virologic failure results through week 48, which was the conclusion of the study. Of these 106 patients, 7 patients met the criteria for virologic failure in the study. 4 of those patients were randomized to the fosamprenivir arm, and 3 of those patients were randomized to the atazanavir arm.
I'd like to know what you found the ultimate significance of this to be.
I think the ultimate significance was that we were very pleased that we had a very low level of virologic failure on either arms. The numbers were very similar in terms of the virologic failures. One of the things that was interesting is that some of the patients who were on the fosamprenivir arm, because of the way the study was done, these patients were genotyped after they met the criteria for virologic failure. So we did the genotyping of both the baseline time point and the virologic failure time point, and in some cases some of the intermediate time points. And what we found is that some of the patients on the fosamprenivir arm had evidence of transmitted drug resistance at baseline. So, for example, patient one here in the study came into the study with thymidine analog mutations and also came into the study with primary PI mutations, and at baseline had reduced susceptibility using the monogram phenosense assay to 4 different protease inhibitors. So this was a patient who already had mutations and reduced susceptibility that compromised the study drug regimen. So it was probably less surprising that they failed because they had reduced susceptibility at baseline. Patient number 3 on the fosamprenivir arm also came into the study with reduced susceptibility to fosamprenivir at baseline. Patient number 2 was very interesting. This patient, by population genotype, is wild type at baseline, as you can see on this graph, but at failure, which occurred at week 48, the patient selected for, or the patient had, an M184V, L210W, T215SY mixture in their virus. And as you know, tenofovir, when you fail on a tenofovir-based regimen, the primary resistance mutations you tend to see are K65R. So considering that this patient had these thymidine analog mutations, it's very suggestive that this patient probably had archived resistance, archived transmitted resistance that was not picked up by population genotyping, but emerged because this basically rendered this would impact the tenofovir FTC portion of the regimen, making it less incomplete virologic suppression because of the presence of those mutations, which ultimately could have been the reason that they failed. And then the other thing is that we are in the process of doing clonal analysis on the baseline and the failure samples for all of these patients because we would like to understand it better. Also, some of the patients who failed in the atazanavir arm failed without detectable major protease resistance mutations, but they did have phenotypic reduced susceptibility to atazanavir or other protease inhibitors, which suggests that maybe there was some low-level protease resistance mutations that were present at failure, not at baseline in this case, but at failure, that we just couldn't detect by population genotyping.
Any limitations of this study?
It's a 106-patient study, so a smaller cohort is not as good as a larger cohort. It was not powered, I don't believe, because it was a smaller size cohort to be able to make conclusions about inferiority or superiority. What we can say, again, is that we have 7 failures, 4 on one arm, 3 on the other arm.
Dr. Ross, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on ICAC 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2007.